It's martini time. To Happy Hour, happy Thursday, everybody. Sean Cantwell, Adam Harahawk, Drew Duffney hanging out with us as well at your local alternative solid state radio. So you know what we got to talk about right off the jump, right, Adam?
The draft. We're not talking beer.
Correct.
Caught me off guard. I instantly thought beer.
NHL draft just finished up. They're starting to sweep off the floor at we're in Nashville over there. And busy day. The Wings didn't pull off that. In fact, there weren't any trades in that first round yesterday. A little odd.
That was kind of a surprise, admittedly. Like, I was expecting there was going to be a whole... I thought there would be at least a few trades in the first round, and apparently no, not so much.
We were expecting... a lot of people were talking about...
Alex DeBrincat
coming to Detroit, and trades going by that side. But that was contingent on Ottawa getting the player they wanted. Apparently that did not happen, so... Alex DeBrincat is still an Ottawa Senator. That sound you hear is him sobbing.
Yeah, he's no doubt not thrilled about that.
Probably not.
And as it turns out, the Wings ended up doing all of their, making all of their picks, I believe.
Yes.
I thought they had three in a row in the second round.
Not in a row. There was some sort of trade that happened. They had a trade with, can't remember who. But yeah, they were supposed to have the 41st, 42nd, and 43rd.
Yeah.
And next thing they had the 41st, 42nd, and then the 47th. There was some sort of trade. I don't know if they got another pick later on down the line, but
I'm not sure either. I'll try and look into that here in a little bit. Now, that being said, I'm not going to be mad about necessarily the guys that they took at 9 and 17.
No.
I'm more admittedly disappointed in the fact that they picked at all at 9 and 17.
Yeah, you wanted to brink it.
I did, badly. I wanted that to happen so much, and I'm rather disappointed that it didn't. But the picks I'm not mad at?
No.
Steve Yzerman's comments after the first pick were not inspiring, to say the least. Not confidence-inspiring.
He's always played things close to the chest. He always has. So he's not going to say, yep, clear off a spot on the mantle for a Stanley Cup. Daddy's coming home. He's not going to do that. He knows how far we are still out from being a Stanley Cup contender. We said it on the air yesterday. We want them to make the playoffs. And I don't think that is a... I don't think that's a out of the realm of possibility.
At present, neither do I, but it sure doesn't sound like Yzerman thinks that that's the case. Yzerman apparently said yesterday that Detroit is still rebuilding after selling off players for draft picks at this year's trade deadline. Quote, "With the picks we have, the moves we've made at the deadline, we're still in a rebuilding phase, collecting assets through the draft. We're still there. We're not at a point where we feel like we can really start to go for it, so to speak." This will be his fifth season of rebuilding, on top of two or three seasons before that we were supposed to be rebuilding. How long is a rebuild supposed to take in this league?
It varies. It definitely didn't take that long in Tampa Bay when he was there.
No,
but he has a better coach in John. He had a better coach over in John Cooper over there. Jeff Blashill wasn't the guy. What's his face now?
Derek Lalonde, yeah.
Derek Lalonde, he got him there. He's going into his second year as a Red Wings head coach. Then you had a lot of distractions. We talked about this yesterday. Verana in and out of the lineup and then having to go into the players' assistance program. You had injuries. You had the Bertuzzi thing. Will he sign? Will he's not signed? Yzerman says, well, I can fix this right now. Bye-bye. So I think he's going to be watching things very closely, just as there's going to be a lot of people watching Yzerman very closely in this next season. Now the newness of the fact that the captain has come back has worn off a little bit. It's time for, things to progress. And there has been progression with the Red Wings. There has.
I mean, there's definitely been progression, but we're still, like, we're still not to the point where we're even ready to go and get bounced out of the first round yet. I mean, the rebuild in Tampa, like, there wasn't a time where they went more than in this millennium, really, since 2002, where they've gone more than three seasons without being in the playoffs. We're now in year 7, 8?
Yes. Yes, we are. But Tampa Bay also gets that lottery look. Yeah, and I'm going there. Because they're able to get Steven Stamkos for the Windsor Spitfires. They were able to get Kucherov, Vasilevsky. They have higher talent. Our highest talent would be their fourth line. It's luck in the draft. It's being able to get free agents to come here. And it's getting better, but it's not. The Tampa Bay was able to take the rocket ship there because they were able to get high-end talent right off the bat.
They were. I mean, and granted, drafting as low as you did for a long time didn't help matters, but no. That hasn't been the case in recent history. I mean, other than, you know, okay, the draft lottery seems to really screw the Red Wings a lot more often than not, but
yep.
It's not like the picks that Eisman's made have been bad by any means.
Well, he's only really had two. Yeah, about 2 years. Excuse me. I mean, he had Seider in his first year, threw everybody off because he was projected to go into the 20s. Eisman picked him at 6th. Then you had Raymond. Both those guys has done very, very well. But before that was Ken Holland giving us Philip Zadina, Anthony Mantha, guys that just couldn't be consistent, couldn't count on them.
Well, certainly, you know, that was the case with Zadina. I mean, we saw well that panned out.
Well,
we were about ready to
ship
him out of town.
Yeah.
We thought we were.
Yeah, but no, we're still involved in the Zadina experiment.
Yeah, unfortunately, for now. We do have one other, a little bit of big news, sort of, to get to this afternoon, and we'll do that next. Right now, here's Bush at Solid State Radio. Gin Blossom's on Happy Hour at Solid State Radio, so the Wings.
Yes.
They did make a trade today, not the trade that I think we were all expecting or hoping for, but they made a trade nonetheless.
Yeah, Yamamoto.
Kyler Yamamoto.
And another cat who I don't recognize. They're both coming to Detroit for future considerations. Now, I'm always worried whenever they say future considerations.
It's basically cash, more or less. No salary was retained in the deal, though. Yamamoto has 1 year remaining on his contract. Klim Kostin has a pending restricted free agent. By shedding Yamamoto's contract, the Oilers have approximately $8 million in cap space now. And key negotiations ahead with pending restricted free agents Evan Bouchard and Ryan McLeod.
Oh, okay.
Yamamoto was a first rounder for the Oilers, and he's been one of the few bright spots outside your two stars on that roster. Last year he put up 10 goals, 15 assists. For his career, like the year before that he put up 20 goals, 21 assists in the season. He missed some time last year,
sure.
Admittedly.
Sure.
And he hasn't played necessarily. He's only played one full season in the league. A couple years where, I mean, the COVID year was all screwy anyway.
Yeah, you really can't hold that against anybody.
Yeah, he missed some significant time last year, and then he wasn't getting a lot of playing time his first couple years in. He's only 24 years old.
24, and he has a lot of talent, but he is so undersized. We talked about how the NHL was just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Now it seems like it's going the other way because Yamamoto, 5'8", 153 pounds, a strong wind will carry this guy away.
True, but I mean, when he was playing on that top line with McDavid and Drysdale, he was showing a lot of good ability there, and his career best is 20 goals. There's certainly, I think, some significant upside to be had here.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about the size thing. They've drafted size in plenty of other places.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not too concerned about it. As far as this other guy, Kostin, who I think I hadn't heard of until literally today when this came out, He
actually 11 goals, 10 assists in 57 games with the Oilers.
Yeah, you're not going to complain about that. Similar production to what they were getting out of Yamamoto. And this is really his first full season. Like, he had a cup of coffee with the Blues, like four games his first year, two his second, 40 the year after that. And then he ended up in Edmonton, where we start to see a little bit of – like, this is a guy who could also potentially be a 20-goal-a-year scorer.
Well, I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt.
I definitely am, too. Like, he's a bottom six guy for sure, but he's also – you know, you kind of need that depth at some point.
Yeah.
And you basically gave up nothing for him. And the free agent market being as thin as it is, this is probably one of the better moves that you were going to be able to make.
Yeah.
Short of going out and swinging a major blockbuster trade, which Stevie has made it clear that he is not interested in doing that at this stage of the game.
I think that fits right in with what he said originally. They're not ready to compete yet. So what you want to do is you don't want to have roster spots taken up by these big-name free agents. You want to be able to cultivate your young guys. Let's get Marco Kasper more playing time. Let's make sure that Simon Edvinson stays in the lineup. Get them seasoned so that, you know, in a season or two, Yzerman will be playing a different tune. He'll take to the podium and he'll be like, "Everybody get in the truck. We're going to the big house."
You kind of hope that's going to be the case.
I hope so.
We've been waiting a long, long time for this.
Well, and we are, but we've also been spoiled for 25 years prior, and there's a lot of teams out there who are still waiting longer than we are right now, so we really can't.
I mean, am I going to sit here and say we haven't been spoiled with this team? Absolutely not. But just, you know, the combination of every team in this town has basically been dead for the last decade.
Yeah, yeah.
It gets old, man. It does.
It's gonna happen though. 2026. Write it down. Take it to Vegas. 2026. The Wings are gonna win the Stanley Cup. The Tigers are gonna win the World Series. The Pistons will be the NBA championship, and the Lions will lose in the wild card spot.
I don't know. I honestly believe that team wins a home playoff game this year.
I think, and I've said this out loud in front of other people. Lions take the Central.
NFC North.
NFC North.
Yeah, I honestly tend to entirely agree on that.
Yep.
Which, for me to have that kind of confidence in that football team has just never really happened, but. I'm just hoping the Wings aren't as far out as, like, Stevie makes it sound like it's going to be another 5 years before we're even, like, making the playoffs. Like, I don't think I could have the stomach for that. And you got to feel like the only reason that the fans aren't getting more impatient is because franchise legend and, you know, to an extent what he did in Tampa Bay.
I don't know. The rational people that are on Facebook, they're not too rational with him.
How's that group doing? Are they just blowing up?
Oh, it's horrendous. They think every pick is stupid, dumb. They should have went for Connor Bedard.
Well, yeah.
I was like, you realize he was never going to be fall down to ninth. I mean, you got to get your head examined, honestly.
He was never falling. Adam Fantilli was never falling, though. He did go three, which I was not expecting.
Who was
they
that?
Took Leo Carlson at second ahead
Leo
of him.
Carlson, that was a curveball. Then that
Mikhail Mishkov.
Mishkov, yeah, he drops down to what, 10th?
Because the Flyers picked him up, I believe, at 7th.
7th, okay, yeah, but he dropped. So I'm thinking, is Sean right that the whole Russian stigma is going to really force this guy? But no, the Phillies were like, we don't care. We just don't effing care about
the
Phillies.
The Flyers, man.
Philly.
Yeah.
Philly.
We
don't care. We want a good player.
Honestly, I think Washington would have taken him if they fought. I mean, we've already got Ovechkin who's like daily kissing Putin's ass. So what the hell do we care?
Right. Exactly.
So like, there was no way that he was going to get past one of those two. But he did drop more than I think a lot of people expected. Like, Tankathon had it projected to go at 4 to the Sharks. Like,
I saw him between Fantilli. I saw him 2 or 3 on a lot of mock drafts. So he did. His stock did drop a lot, which I felt bad for the guy.
Right, and again, I think we all know why that is.
Yeah.
I think the Phillies end up getting the steal of that draft. Interestingly enough, Axel Sandin-Palicka, The guy who we picked up at 17th was slated, again, per Tankathon, to go 14th to the Pens. So we got, you know, did not too bad stealing that, but Nate Danielson was also projected to go 16th, and we took him at 9.
Nate Danielson, looking forward to this cat. 33 goals, 45 assists last season for the Brandon Wheat Kings.
Yep.
I mean, of course, WHL, miles away from the NHL, but it bodes well.
It certainly does.
If you're right on that statistic, $5 would get us $75,000.
If what?
If the Wings win the Cup in 2026 and we place a bet today.
Let's play a bet today.
The odds of them winning the Cup in 2026, according to the odds makers right now, are 1 in 15,000.
15.
Well,
I'll put 10.
I'll throw in a 10 spot.
Yeah, we each put in 10. Hey, Adam, they just won this. Where's Adam? Woo, Vegas, bitches. You had the ticket, don't you, Sean? No, Adam. Oh.
I know I got it here somewhere with all my trash bags, my expired lottery tickets that I saved for taxes. I'm like, I know it's here.
So anyway, all right.
Let's do this. I'm kind of down with this. You're the gambler of this group, Drew. Make it happen.
I'm telling you.
Make it happen.
All right.
It is happy hour at Solid State Radio. Stick around. Solid State weather for the rest of the afternoon. You're looking at cloudy skies, a chance of a stray shower or thunderstorm possible, high getting up to around 83. Tonight, thunderstorms, some with some locally heavy rain, especially in the evening hours. Areas of smoke and haze are still possible with a low of 66. Tomorrow, intervals of clouds and sunshine. Again, a stray shower or thunderstorm possible with a high of 87 and a low of 63. Then for Saturday, more clouds and sun with a high of 83 and a low of 63. Right now, 83 in Flint, 84 in the Tri-Cities, 82 in lovely downtown Lapeer, under what would probably be fairly sunny skies if not for these damn wildfires. Back to the music right now. Here's Sam Fender, 17 going under at Solid State Radio. The best at your local alternative, Solid State Radio. What's going on? It is happy hour. And my, this turned to a full house real quick. Like, it feels like a Friday, even though it's not.
It honestly feels like a Friday.
It's a 4th of July weekend, so, you know.
We're basically setting ourselves up for a 5-day weekend. Well, I mean, we're going to be on the air tomorrow through the Throwback Takeover weekend. But that Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, like, we might be in and out of here doing normal music things, but happy hour itself ain't going to be back till next Wednesday.
And can I tell you, I just want to give a shout out to the Canadians for starting our bonfire early.
Pretty sure they're burning our garbage.
Yeah. Aren't they supposed to be shipping that? Don't we get revenue from that? How dare them?
Right before 4th of July. Okay, we see you.
Yeah.
No, actually, we don't see you. It's pretty hazy, but
yeah. But if we could see you, let me tell you.
We do smell your Canadian wood, though.
Yeah. You're just trying to ruin our Independence Day celebration. Joke's on you. Fireworks show up a lot better over clouds.
Yeah. A couple weeks ago, Dorothy and I bought one of those air purifiers, and it was working great.
Just in time.
It was like 99%, and now it's like 42%. This thing's like coughing and wheezing like my grandma right before she died.
Oh, my God.
We start measuring PMs along with our Fahrenheit.
Yeah, right.
Well, and the thing is, we're laughing and joking about it now, but actually, I've arguably been borderline depressed about this because I'm on the road. And yesterday was my shortest day before today. I only get one day off. I work 4 days, one day off, 6 days on.
Yeah. Jeez.
So in 11 days, I get one day off, and my shortest day was 13 and a half hours. And can I tell you, I literally, as far as Michigan goes, I've been driving coast to coast. East to west, down to Detroit, doesn't really matter. Port Huron to Grand Rapids. And everywhere I go, the horizon is the same. You know, my mom's like, well, I didn't think it was that bad west, on the west side of the state. I didn't think they were getting it. We border Canada, so I thought it was just us. I'm like, no, Mom.
It's whole northern side everywhere. Of the country.
Yeah, and I see people taking pictures. In the air quality in Chicago is the worst in the world. Worse than Singapore, which is like, you know.
They don't care.
Yeah, it's like factories and non-filtered cigarettes.
The gangsters are missing their shot. That's right.
You know,
did you get him, Louie? I have no idea, boss. But no, it is terrible. I mean, so you see pictures from New York. You can't see bridges. It's just it looks Well, like a big old fog.
They sent a picture of
Mackinac Island.
Yeah.
All you saw was like the
top of the highest part of the
top
bridge.
Is tower. Yeah. And that's what's borderline get me depressed, because like I've seen other countries and other states even before the internet when I was younger. I'd watch The Price is Right. That was like the highlight when I was in kindergarten, because it was half day, right? And I get home like Bob Barker was on. Oh, pedophile, yeah. He is. But anyway, they're like California Emissions, and I'm like, Mom, what's California Emissions? Well, she gets out the encyclopedia, and we talk about it and whatever. Well, in California, this has been a thing. In other countries that don't have pollution laws, you know, because the haze and all the, you know, all the stuff that goes on around L.A., we've never had it in Michigan. We're a peninsula. We're surrounded by water. We have greenery.
Trees.
Yeah, we're surrounded by foliage that produce oxygen. You know, we should be almost immune to this. I hate to say it. And obviously, it's affecting us.
Oh, I've had a headache for 3 days now.
My eyes are ridiculous. Yeah, I actually have to do treatments. I put a thing on my eyes that, like, when they're closed, and it's like this rice bag, and then I open them up, they're all blurry, and then I put, like, this Vaseline medicine on my eyes.
Yeah.
Because I can't screw. I went to the eye doctor 2 weeks ago, and I'm like, hey, doc. And he's like, it's probably allergies. And I'm like, I take Allegra every day, year-round, 24-7, you know, every day.
Yeah.
I'm like, it can't just be allergies. See, well, it could have something to do with the smoke. Here's what I need you to do, because I need my eyes to drive. That's an important part of my job.
It's kind of important.
Yeah.
You need those.
Yeah. So the whole thing is just making me crazy, but, you know. But, hey, well, like I said, I mean, we were going to have campfires this weekend anyway, so.
I guess. But I mean, I'm glad I got that air purifier when I did, but now it's just like, I look over in the corner, it's just like, please, let me die. Yeah.
Right. You're like scraping all the tar and nastiness off it with like a comb.
One thing about it, though, the plants are going to prosper like crazy with all this potash flying around. Not potash at all.
Yeah. I will tell you, with someone who recently canceled their cable like a couple of months ago, I have gotten more channels than I've ever seen. I am getting channels out of Detroit living in Flint.
Really?
Like 70 miles away on a metal antenna. Wow.
See, now I was always told that if there's more haze, more clouds, more whatever, it affects signal negatively.
All I can tell you is I think it must be holding them lower. Because I woke up the other morning, I'm like, is that Fox 66? Wait, that's out of Saginaw. Oh, okay. Is that WLNS? That's out of Lansing.
Wow, how look am at I all these channels.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, I usually watch like antenna TV.
There's a new Baltimore now?
I saw a commercial for Buddy's Pizza.
This is the weirdest thing. I first moved to Nashville. I woke up to my alarm clock one morning, and it was, of course, radio playing. And it was a Detroit station. And it was the weirdest feeling, because I was like, I know I'm in Tennessee.
They don't have this kind of moonshine in Detroit.
Like, that was crazy, man. That was before all the modern age, you know, technologies. Like, you could listen to it on your
phone or whatever. Right? Yeah, yeah.
You probably had that one clock radio that we all had.
Hey, don't knock it. I still have it. Yeah, the wood grain with the, I still have it. And when mine went bad, I bought another one at the rummage sale.
Yep.
And when I say it went bad, it didn't stop working. It's just the time would advance rapidly. Like, my alarm would go off an hour and a half early, and I'm like, I'd look at my phone, and literally the time had advanced an hour and a half and overnight.
Oh, boy.
See, I'd have to call 234-1212, because we didn't even have cell phones back then.
Can I tell you, if you call that now from your cell phone, because I did it the other day, I'm like, is time still a thing? 555-1212? And apparently that's not time, that's directory assistance.
Oh.
And I called it, and they charged my cell phone plan $3.
Oh, my gosh!
And I'm like, if you call directory assistance, it's a $3 freaking charge.
Yeah.
It's cheaper to dial a 900 number.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I could get 30 seconds.
Brett Stone knows he's done it a lot.
Are they still a thing? Okay, we have a new phone in studio, so we're going to try it. We're going to call some 976 numbers coming up after this.
Let's not do that. Here's Allison Chains, your local alternative to Solid State Radio. There's Let Down, Crying in the Shower, your local alternative is Solid State Radio. What's going on? It's happy hour. He's Adam Herrock. Drew Duffney's hanging out with us, as is Brother Stone, making a surprise guest appearance today.
Yeah.
If you guys want to stop by our Solid State Radio store, please feel free to buy whatever you'd like. We're getting our Patreon account set up with all of our off-air content, which is bringing tears to our eyes and anxiety to Sean.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very, very good at that.
So, Yeah, and it's not, you don't walk by the store. You go to solidstateradio.net, click on the shop tab, and there you go. This weekend, it's going to be the Wings 103 Takeover. Drew and I, we're going to be going on a field trip. Saturday, July 8th, 7 to 10 p.m., we'll be outside Tilted Access. We'll be doing the live Blarney Hour, live sessions. Ariana Grande will be performing live music.
And Smith.
Smith. I knew I was going to do that. God damn it.
Ariana Grande Smith. Is her middle name Grande, like the taco?
No, it's Ariana Grande. She's a Pop-Tart celebrity thing.
Ariana Smith is a Michigan-made
Michigan-made music
artist.
Smith. She'll be the musical guest. We're going to be sampling some of the beers that they have over at Tilted Access, maybe trying out one of the pizzas, trying out like we haven't before.
They got a gluten-free pizza. I did not know that. All the times we've been there,
I've tried gluten-free. Dorothy tried the gluten-free thing. I don't like gluten-free anything. Gluten-free water, I don't want it.
It does not affect my digestive system like it does some. I understand some people get bound up and they get cramps and whatever else.
There's people that will swear by it. Tomorrow morning, Mitch Gill will be here for the Morning Air Corps, and he'll tell you all about a gluten-free diet and vegan diet, and he won't shut up about it.
Yeah, but if I give him a hug, I feel like I'm going to break his vertebrae.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, it's not like, you know, and I'm just saying, I want a little cushion. When I give somebody a hug, I don't want...
When it comes to my morning hosts, I want a little bit of cushion for the pushing. Yeah. So, yeah, that's stuff that's going on here at Solid State Radio.
Here is Florence and the Machine. Your local alternative is Solid State Radio. Nirvana, your local alternative, Solid State Radio. Streaming the world at solidstateradio.net, the Solid State Radio app, and the Solid State Radio skill for your Alexa or other wiretap device. What's going on? It's happy hour. He's Adam Hairhug. I'm Sean Cantwell. That's Brother Stone. And there's Drew Duffney.
Yeah, welcome everybody. Listen, you have to be under a rock to not know what's going on in the world of airline travel right now.
Apparently, I'm under a rock then.
Well, so this time last year, they had 50,000 flight cancellations for this particular weekend. And the travel industry was under a lot of scrutiny. Congress passed a bunch of bills, da-da-da-da-da. And basically, patients have a bill of rights now, so the airlines can't just hold you hostage on the tarmac.
Patients?
No, we're patients pretty much at that point.
People who have tickets on an airline.
Okay.
So travelers. Travelers' Bill of Rights.
Okay, that makes a lot more sense.
Yeah. So the nuts and bolts of it is, I mean, basically they have to return your fee if you're on the tarmac for more than 4 hours. I mean, I'm not going to get into the black and white of the law. But this year, it's only 7,000 flights that were canceled yesterday, which is still a freaking meltdown, right?
Yeah.
They're paying flight attendants triple their standard wage to come in on their days off and work. And the pilots are timing out. The pilots can't fly. They're like truck drivers. They can only fly so many hours before they just can't. And then there's a shortage of air traffic.
You don't want a pilot going, hey, everybody, it's day number 12 for me. Let's do this.
That's right.
Kick the tires, light the fires. Let's
go. They're like, how you feeling today, pilot? Hey, with my hands.
I got a Four Loko. I'm good.
That's right. Yeah, no. So this individual basically outweighed everything by 18 hours because they said the flight's canceled. We're going to restage. We're going to, you know, we're going to rebook you guys, da-da-da-da-da. Well, he's a realtor from Greensboro, Arkansas, and he saw that his flight was going to be delayed because storms saw that more than 9,000 U.S. flights were canceled or delayed over the weekend.
Oh, boy.
As the delay got longer and longer, he says departure was pushed back to no fewer than 7 times. Other passengers had left, rebooked, rented cars, done whatever. By the time the plane finally took off, 12 minutes past midnight, he was the only one on board, right? Other people were just sleeping in the hallway or whatever. I mean, it's a little after midnight, 3 days later, and he just outweighed it or whatever. So he gets on the plane. He legitimately was the only one on the plane to the destination. And they were joking. Here, you got a full plane of flight attendants, a pilot.
The pilot's like, hello, Tom. If you look to the left.
Well, that's right. I mean,
go ahead and move yourself to the left there, Tom. We don't want you to miss this.
Yeah. I mean, he had a smorgasbord of food from first class because that stuff's only good for so long. You know what I'm saying? So he could have whatever meal he wanted. He was drinking. They were all laughing, partying, having a good time. Well, anyway, The flight arrived at 3:35 a.m., and he got home around 7 a.m., showered, and went to work with no sleep. I felt so bad for the crew. They were at their hotel when we were going to bed. I was like, oh my gosh, they literally have to come here just for me. You know, they were resting because the weather and all the delays and everything else was going on. When he arrived at his destination, you ready, folks?
What?
They lost his luggage.
That poor son of a bitch.
Now, he was the only one on the plane. Now, I get that you're flying into a major airport, and there's all these different hangars, and you got maybe 30 planes coming in. I mean, I was just at the Flint Air Show last weekend, and I found it astonishing that they didn't... Apparently, when they have an air show, they don't close airports. Like, I didn't know this. All of a sudden, I'm kind of on Facebook on intermission when they're doing stuff.
So there's a biplane from World War One. It's like, oh, Jesus Christ!
It was, there was three acrobatic, and then there was the Army Golden Knights doing parachuting, and all of a sudden I saw this Allegiant Air taxiing on the runway flying in, and I'm like...
Some of the parachuters bounce off the windshield.
Yeah. I'm like, Haley Bug, is that you? My friend Haley was actually coming in from Florida on that day.
Yeah.
And I'm like, are you on Allegiant? She's like, yeah. She goes, is this an air show? And I'm like, yeah, as a matter of fact, it is.
Well, because we got a bunch of people who lived through 9/11. We're getting dive bombed by planes. This is not good.
Yeah, so this cat, he outweighed everybody and was just a big laugh. I mean, he actually exchanged numbers and social media, you know, tags and everything with the flight attendants and everybody that was on the flight. Cause, I mean, basically they got up just to fly him to his destination because everybody else had rebooked and done whatever else because it was the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And then they get to his destination and literally lost his luggage.
So he probably had to go to that claim center where they're always in a good mood.
Yeah.
Going there, hi, yeah, you lost my luggage. What flight were you on? I was the only one on the flight.
Yeah.
check the cargo hold. Maybe it's hidden in the back somewhere. I mean, there's plenty of room in there. And that would have been my answer to everything. Can you describe your bag? I was the only one on the flight.
Well, and that's the thing. I feel like when you check in, I mean, it's been a minute since I flew somewhere, but we're only talking like 3 years maybe. And usually you check your luggage before you go through security.
Yeah.
So you don't know that your flight's delayed. And I'm not exactly sure. I've watched some, you know, how it's made stuff, but I don't know where your luggage goes once the airline checks it, because then you got to go through security, and I'm assuming at some point they put it on the plane. So all the people, all the other 299 seats on the plane that were canceled, I don't know where their luggage went. I doubt it was on the plane because they obviously drove somewhere and whatever else. So that's I don't know in the circle of it, because obviously he waited 18 hours, so he hasn't had his luggage in 18 hours, you know. Yeah, yikes. What a mixed up mess. I at this point, and this is not just 9/11. I've traveled after 9/11. That was, you know, 30 years ago or 20 some years ago. But I don't think at this point during COVID and during all the shortages of the airline, you hear about the pilots and whatever else, I wouldn't travel anywhere. I wouldn't get on a plane. I mean, if I can't drive there, I don't feel like I would fly there. And not because I'm afraid of flying. You could get on a private jet, and, you know, for like $200 more, you can literally charter a plane to almost anywhere on the continental for what you'd pay for an airline ticket right now and get a better flight. And I think that's what I would do. I don't think I would get on a commercial flight just because they're constantly canceled, there's constantly delays, and it has nothing to do with weather. It's just legit. They're shorthanded.
Yeah.
Think of how long you wait in line. Your biggest pet peeve is the guy at the lottery counter when you're just trying to buy a six-pack to try to go home.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, or Sean, in your case, you're like looking at lines of people that are just waiting for drinks when you're like, why is everybody, you know, waiting in line? You just run up to the bar half the time, you know, and get your own drinks.
Or he's behind the bar, and it's because there's a long line because somebody wants, some woo girl wants something that's got 15 different drinks and a blender involved.
Oh, there's no blender at our place.
It's broke.
Can we do that as a topic?
Yes,
we've done that.
So I actually looked up 16 worst like bartender stories.
Okay, we can do it next if you'd like.
I'd love it because I want your opinion on this one.
We'll do it next then. It's happy hour at Solid State Radio. Solid state weather for the rest of the afternoon. You're looking at cloudy skies, about 100% chance of wildfire smog, and a slight chance of thunderstorms, high getting up to around 83. Tonight, thunderstorms likely in the evening hours, then a chance of scattered thunderstorms overnight. Areas of smoke and haze are still possible with a low of 66. Tomorrow, intervals of clouds and sunshine, if the smoke ever clears up, with a stray shower or thunderstorm, high of 87 and a low of 63. Then for Saturday, mostly cloudy with a high of 83 and a low of 63. Right now, 84 in Flint, 84 in the Tri-Cities, 82 in lovely downtown Lapeer under cloudy skies with the neighborhood. Your local alternative, Solid State Radio. Highly suspect, your local alternative, Solid State Radio. What's going on? It is happy hour. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell. That's Drew Duffney, Brother Stone hanging out with us. And Drew, you had something over there that you wanted my input on.
Well, yeah, I follow a lot of bartender websites, not for the drama, which seems to come with it.
Well, that just goes without saying.
But yeah. I try to follow for the recipes, right? Like when
some of them you should not.
Yeah, I mean, you mix Yoo-hoo and Hennessy, and it's supposed to taste like a chocolate bar. I saw it on the internet. It's got to be true. I'm going to go buy a bottle of Hennessy just so we can try it.
Yeah, this is the same guy that thought Captain Morgan and Bush Light were supposed to taste like a chocolate milk.
Yeah.
Like, it tastes like a bad decision is what it tastes
it
like.
It was. And my goodness, where we hung over the next day.
Oh, my God. It was horrible.
Well, how many times did you try it?
Well, we just wanted to. Yeah, that was the problem.
Well, he kept trying, I'm going to get the mix right eventually. Yeah, I swear I am.
Yeah,
he became a chemist all of a sudden.
Try this one.
Goggles on. And then he poured Oberon and apple cinnamon
whiskey. It was a snake bite.
A serpent's bite. And I'm like, who hurt you? What is going on with
that? Snake bite was Guinness and apple cider.
No, serpent's
apple
bite.
Cider.
It was the apple cider.
If somebody made it into a whiskey and bottled it.
Yeah.
And it's called serpent's bite.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah, so basically it's like Irish Applejack. But so upon
Applejack itself is already bad.
Yeah. So upon searching this.
Yeah.
I thought of you instantly, Sean, because I was going to do a list, because obviously that's your trade, that's your skill. We're all envious of it because...
skill is questionable at best.
Yeah. He knocks it out of the park every time, much to my chagrin.
And that's the whole thing. I mean, like, when you're in Ireland, if you're behind the bar at a pub, you're like the king. You could rule the country.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. I mean, you're highly renowned. Like, when you go get a haircut, it's free.
Why is that? Like, okay, in the same establishment, you can think that the waitress is beneath you. Oh, wait on me, hand and foot. But you, behind a bar, you got to kiss this guy's ass.
Yeah, if he pulls a good pint with little head, yeah for sure. Like, he gets a free haircut or his shoes are shined for free.
Yeah.
That's the real of it. But, so I'm scrolling through these. And the one says, I made $42 in a 10-hour shift. And basically what it was she worked an Easter Sunday. And she said, I made more strawberry daiquiris and pina coladas than I've ever made in an entire shift. And, and obviously, you know, they're talking about the older crowd. And I'm totally strolling past a bunch of them. A customer took her shoes off at the bar.
Oh, good Lord.
Okay. And then I got to this one.
Just never, ever do that. And people who try to put their feet up on the bar, like, no, that's not how this is going to work.
Some women think, oh, I got my shoes off. It's cute. My wife, my lovely wife, who I love dearly, I'm almost upchucking talking about this.
Because you encourage this in multiple ways, but go on.
She took her shoes off. She was barefoot in the machine shop. I know, right? I got three people looking at me going, are you effing serious? Yes, she took her bare feet onto the floor at the machine shop.
I just want to do that one night in our bar. Like, she's very insistent on this. Like, you know, she's already not one who likes wearing shoes, but, like, immediately ditched as soon as she gets into the bar that I work at.
Yeah.
And that's not advised.
No. Was she not afraid of stepping on a stripper's genital jewelry? Because that's a thing. Like, they just lose. It can come out.
I know a lot of people in a concert who, if it's like really tight up there,
they just pee right there.
Yeah.
So this is the one that got me, and I'm going to clean it up a little bit because you get in a hurry behind the bar. You're a one man show.
Doesn't get in a hurry.
You run the kitchen, you run the bar, run the kino, you run the
everything.
Yeah, the drink room. I mean, you have an entire
toilets plugged.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, you know, it's kind of like the sign, please don't put your gum in the urinal because the hands that pick the gum out of the urinal are the same hands that put the ice in your drink.
Right, and they make it tough to chew.
Yeah. One particularly busy night, I forgot to dry my hands in between tickets. I grabbed a single martini glass, and as I was pulling it over my shoulder to lay it on my mat, it slipped out of my hand and flew between two seated customers at the bar and flew about 15 feet and hit an occupied two top and burst into a million pieces.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Now, can you imagine?
Oh, my God.
Like, there's so many steps to this. I don't know if I would want to be the people sitting at the bar where the martini glass flips between the two of us, or if I'd want to be the people sitting at the bar talking about what we're going to do when we get home or what happened today at work and having the martini glass land in our sushi at blast into a million pieces.
I wouldn't want to be the server. Bartender. I wouldn't want to be the bartender at all.
Like, see, this is why we serve in plastic at the place I work.
Yeah. At what point in your night? I mean, what do you do at that point? Do you just look and go,
I'm done. Good night, everybody.
Them cheese sticks are on me.
Yeah. Right. Martini? Absolutely. And I'm going to have somebody who, with both hands, is going to have to deliver the martini to you.
Yeah. One of the other ones, they were serving an outside wedding. I ran into a palm tree and dropped my entire tray of drinks on myself.
On yourself? Yeah, that's a good laugh.
Palm trees are hard to see.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they just come out of nowhere.
They really do.
Where were you?
Yeah. I got blamed for several decades of wood rot when the wine rack crashed to the floor. So they had 80 wine glasses hanging over the bar top where your stemware hangs. And it was an old pub. And obviously back then they had leaded glass and crystal and stuff like that, which is fairly heavy. Remember the bar that my dad made and I had in the house and then I give it to you?
Yep.
Same. Actually, it's probably at your house now that I think about it. Several years of wood rot and this thing finally collapsed.
And the owner's probably... Because their bar owners are very knee-jerk reaction.
Right.
It's, oh my God, look at what happened. Oh,
look at what you did.
And the first person I see is going to take the blame. Bartender, why didn't you jump in front of it?
Right. So, and they go on and on and on, and I don't have a bartending story, but Sean, in this little bit of intermission here, I want you to be thinking about this, because these stories are laughable. And I wasn't a bartender, I was a caterer, okay, and I worked for a catering company. I was 16, it was my first job where I was old enough to drive to a job, and I worked for Creative Catering, which was Brown's Restaurant on Richfield and Center Road there in Flint. Mm-hmm.
I remember that place, yeah.
And there were two different instances I remember. I'll tie them both into one. Basically, the first one was I was carrying a pan of Mostaccioli out. We had already started service, and the first pan of Mostaccioli ran out. And I had to wear dress shoes, and I'd never worn dress shoes to a job before. My only other job was picking strawberries when I wasn't old enough to drive. I've been working since I was 14, and I literally turned 16 and drove my old 71 Chevy truck out here. And I'm carrying this pan of Mostaccioli's and dress pants and a dress shirt because you're a caterer, right? It's not you're got to wear dress clothes in dress shoes. And I'm not. My first communion was the last time I walked in dress shoes. Totally tripped and dumped this whole pan of Mostaccioli on the bride's train of her dress.
Oh my God.
No!
Yeah, knock wood. I had like it. What she wasn't. She's like I don't even care. She's like I. Anyway. Yeah, she says it's all. Actually, her words
were gonna be divorced next week.
No,
okay.
Her words were, "It's only white for tonight." That was her words, right? I had a really, really cool bride and groom. They were a younger couple, and obviously they were partiers. It's only white for tonight. That's what I'm saying? That's kind of the thing. So that one went well. And then later, as I became quote-unquote established, like I did my third wedding party or whatever, I got to light the candelabras. And if you've been to a wedding that has ice sculptures and that sort of stuff, basically there's candles on the buffet table, and there's artificial foliage that's plastic, right?
Yep.
And when we pack everything up, as the catering company does, everything kind of gets stacked and conserved because you're basically driving a bread truck with an entire ballroom full of decorations.
Uh-huh.
And the plastic foliage gets folded into the candelabras. And I didn't know. He gave me a lighter, and like these aren't even real candles. There's butane inside of a plastic tube. And he's like, okay, we go ahead and I forget what it was called, but you take all the plastic off the salads and all the lids off the heated food And someone goes out and does that, and then someone else goes and lights the candles, and then they, like, make a motion, and whoever's conducting the tables, I'm making motions for you listeners with my hands, so just image it. So I go out and light the candelabra, and just as people are getting ready to come up and eat, the party leader, his name's Larry, and he says, Drew, did you flex the foliage on the candelabras? And I said, what? Larry, what flex are you talking about? What is flex the foliage? He says, you didn't touch the leaves? I said, no, I lit the candles. You told me to go light the candelabras. And we look out, and there is black smoke coming from both candelabras.
Oh, no.
And he runs from the kitchen. Now, you got to envision this. This is a ballroom. This isn't like your VFW hall. This is a big facility.
Yeah.
It was North Bank Center in downtown Flint. And he starts at one end of the buffet, grabs one candelabra, grabs the other candelabra, and runs to the bartender in the corner of the room, because that was the opposite end of the buffet.
Yeah, yeah.
And dumps both candelabras in the ice well of the bartender. My
God. And bartender's freaking out.
The whole ballroom's just clapping. Woo! And they're all cheering and having a good time. You know, so.
And the DJ's like, burning down the house.
You know, but only drinks were being served at that time. We were just getting ready to have dinner. And obviously, these kind of things happen. You know, so good, bad, or otherwise, you talk about all these things. Now, Sean, there has to have been something embarrassing that has happened at your place of work. Escalated or not, I mean, just what's the worst thing that's happened as far as an event?
This is... Because the worst like accident like that's happened, someone insisted on carrying a tray of drinks and, you know, being all fancy, like, server-like with it. Like, there was, like, 12 drinks and, like, or 12 shots and, like, half a dozen beers and
seltzers. Was this an employee?
No, this was just a...
A guest. Okay,
yeah, he insisted, like, I'm going to bring this all the way over there. And right as he is getting to the table, he spilled the entire tray, every single drink. Every single one. And then one of the chicks in his party came back up, like, so we're not getting charged for all that, right? Like, excuse me? Like, we're just going to get, like, you're going to take something off our bill here, right? Like, how do you figure that? Like, he spilled the drinks that he paid for. Like, those are getting paid for. I don't care. Like, maybe it works differently at your bar, because this one apparently works at another bar in the area. But, like, you really think that you're getting free drinks because your idiot cohort there just spilled them all over the place?
Yeah.
That ain't how this works. That's not how any of this works. Craziest bar story is the night that a lap dance was given for a dirty 30.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
Wait. Okay. Before I have to get out Urban Dictionary, can we talk on the air what a dirty 30 is?
Just 30th birthday party, basically.
Okay.
So this girl is one of my regulars. It was her 30th birthday, and a dude that she had known for, you know, a long, like, since they were, like, kids or something, came in, happened to be there, and he's decided at this point, like, they've taken up a collection at the bar to buy this woman a lap dance from this kid who was, you know, probably about, like, early 20s, like, old enough to drink, but, like, he immediately strips down to his underwear and... you know, Genuine Pony comes on the jukebox.
You don't even have an entertainment license, do you?
I believe we do, actually.
I think they required you to have the jukebox.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we have that. There's two bars in this county that have, and that was one of them. So, yeah, that happens, and she's just getting the biggest kick out of this. And the owners come walking in at this point. I'm like, I'm about to get fired, aren't I? I was not. She was cheering the dude on. It was amazing. It was an interesting night all the way around. That's for sure.
Yeah. No, boy. I'm not quite sure. I mean, we've been on the other end of that. We've never been on the employment end of it. We've misbehaved at quite a few bars.
Oh yeah.
I mean, you were talking about the one at the machine shop. I actually had someone pull a gun on me there when it was Razzmatazz back. You know, back then.
Were we playing that day?
No.
Okay.
No. It was the treasurer for one of the.
They're like, anything to make them stop playing.
Yeah. But
they loved us.
Yeah, but no
motorcycle. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, that I can't really imagine if a bar owner walked in and saw one of their patrons in their underwear. The same bar owner I do remember. We were there, and she was like, someone had gotten up, and there was a wet spot on their seat. She's like, "Did you?" I don't know
pee
if I
yourself?
Can say. Yeah, I don't. Can I? I can't. Does
you can
that
say
one
pee.
Of,
you can say pee.
Okay, but that wasn't what I was going to say.
You can say urinate.
That's I know what he was going to say, but let's.
Starts with an M, but yeah.
Make your eight.
No.
Oh, okay.
Anyway.
But anyway.
You can say menstruation. That's,
yeah.
That's
no. It
term.
Was a dude that had wet pants when he got up.
Oh.
And she thought.
Oh, he.
Yeah.
And did he?
No, he had sat on a bench outside.
Ah.
Actually, I think it was at your wedding. Now that I say that. Yeah, that was
really?
Actually at your wedding. It was other people that were at the bar during your wedding. That is exactly what it was. And I'm like, dude, we're doing stuff here. Yeah.
Yeah, that the good times were had by all. It is happy hour at Solid State Radio. Stick around. New one from Taproot right there. It's Victim I Play on the station that actually supports local music in the Flint and Lapeer area. Solid State Radio. What's going on?
That's right.
It is happy hour. We're... Yeah, we actually play local music and don't just write blog posts about it on our website. He's Adam Harahawk. I'm Sean Cantwell. That's Drew Duffney, and he's Brother Snow.
And I've got a question.
Sure.
I seen on Facebook they were doing the Battle of the Bands for Lapeer Days.
Are they going through
from
that, aren't they?
From my understanding, it is.
Really?
And they're charging them. Like, there's like $100 or something
$100.
Like that to join.
What local band do you know that has $100 just lying around?
They don't even make that at a gig.
Yep,
pay to play.
There
How
is.
Bad do you want to get out there?
There it is. Yeah, here is the questionnaire that younger. Yeah, I got it right on my screen right here. Lapeer
That's
Days
not
Festival.
Like AI. That's not. It wasn't
no,
generated
it
by AI.
AI.
Well, I'm just saying
AI just booking all the talent now.
Well, Jesus, I guess we got to go with it. We don't know what the AI is going to do with us if we renege on this gig.
Right.
So, okay, Battle of the Bands, August 18th, 19th, and 20th. That's the weekend of Lapeer Days. Friday, August 18th, 4 to 9 on the West Stage. August 19th, 5 to 8 on the West Stage. And then on Sunday, 4 to 5:30 on the Main Stage. That's if you win $100 per band.
So this is Lapeer Days?
Yes.
This is not like Lapeer Concert Series or Songs
this
in the Park or Concert
Lapeer
in the Park.
This is
Lapeer Days. What has happened to our budget? What is going on with our community in the city of Lapeer or the
well,
or Lapeer
I
County?
I know on...
Did our former commish or whatever that just got fired...
No, it's not his fault. It's all... It's a lot of the donations coming in that are not coming in anymore. So they're not getting the same kind of money that they would normally get to be able to book a lot of bands. And also, I'm sorry, I'm throwing people on the bus, but Sean and I have, I'm not going to put Sean in there. Sean had nothing to do with it at all. I tried to help the Chamber of Commerce book some bands.
He had nothing to do with this.
I don't want to throw you under the bus is what I'm trying to say.
What do I care?
Right,
not like anyone.
You're like a public official. Plausible deniability,
Sean. Sean tried to book bands for this thing, for the South State Radio stage and everything else. And they're like, no, we got our people. Thanks, but no thanks. Blah, blah, blah. Next thing
tribute
you know.
Bands. Tribute bands.
And now
your favorite thing in mind.
Now they've decided to go this route because they know, and they're correct, that young bands bring in the people because every band member, if they're like between 15 and 20, every band member.
Well, yeah, their parents got to drive them to the gig.
You got your parents, got grandparents, aunts, uncles, friends, high school friends. If you go to a third base band, everybody gets a third base, whatever that's called, third degree burns. The place is packed because there's like 20 musicians. So I get it, get the young people in here, but Lapeer Days, they're going in a wrong direction. They want this Battle of the Bands. They're thinking they're going to get like 10 to 15 bands to perform for this Battle of the Bands, make money off of them.
Brother Stone, I am shocked that you even brought this in here. Like when it, I'm reading what Adam is. No. I'm reading what Adam is reading now. When you brought it up, I'm like, well, it's just Facebook scuttle. I mean, because you get into small towns, which is Lapeer, and people write stuff.
Oh yeah. That's why I asked, because if anybody didn't know these guys.
Yeah, they're the talent of the city. And Adam, I mean, we had Sponge here.
This is for like the side stages. You've seen my band many times on the side stages, but I mean that's what they're talking about.
Yeah, I mean we had Midget Kiss 1 year, so I mean,
did we really? I would love to see that.
We've never had Big Elvis.
I don't remember Midget Kiss. I remember we had a
War
Kiss.
Machine Kiss. Okay, yeah. War Machine, yeah.
Oh, okay.
But I mean, so my bands mind. Now.
There's like the one exception to the whole tribute
pay
band thing that we always say.
I see that, but term. Adam saw an ABBA band in Windsor that he really, really liked.
Back in 2005, had a great time. If it's a band I can't see anymore, I'll go see them.
So like a Led Zeppelin tribute band.
I would love to go see a Led Zeppelin tribute band, but...
Greta Van Fleet.
Back over here. So anyway, $100 to play, and you get a 20-minute set. 30 minutes is your slot, and that includes setup and takedown. They have a drum set provided, but...
So
$100
if they
get
to play
songs.
And if they get to play the final stage on Sunday, do they get any of the purse?
They get they're going to get a cash prize and a spot on the Lapeer Summer Concert Series.
Undisclosed cash prize?
Well, the prize amount I'm reading this from the entry
application.
Form. Prize amounts dependent on the number of entries.
So basically, they're just redistributing the bands, like they put in their money, like, and just pay that
I get it. They don't want to pay the bands. They want that kind of circle it with themselves. But you're going to get a bunch of bands who are going to feel ripped off.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Who's gonna judge this thing?
How is the judging going? Because Lord knows we've done many a battle.
Battle of the bands, last band always wins.
Always somebody who
It does. Like and Brother Stone kind of alluded to it back in my early in a past radio life. I was involved with a thing that put on battle of the band shows, and I hated it. Like I was. You remember? Same. I was against the idea from the very get because someone always complains that they got ripped off or that they felt like they should have won or that it was rigged against them or whatever, and nobody ever leaves happy. It's like why when we started even talking about doing live shows out with the station,
never
at any point did we consider doing Battle of the Bands.
Well, I seen the one time somebody was complaining that people from the one band was screaming in the microphone, so it made it louder.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, come on. Are you kidding me?
Adam and I have been to several comedy shows together years ago, not anything recently, but how many times have we said the headliners are worse than the openers? The openers are the ones who get you laughing.
Yep.
And if you think about it, anytime you've ever had a good time, you walked into something laughing, you walked into something happy. So it's no different than music.
Right, like there's no fair way, quite frankly, to do it, to judge a battle of the bands. Like there just isn't.
The thing is, Lapeer Days, I know we've had some of you people in studio before, so maybe some of you are listening. I'm not being facetious, maybe, I don't know. I'm just saying there's probably a lot of bands out there that even though they want to make money at different venues, a lot of times they just want to play Lapeer Days. I know for me, being a musician for many years, that was I played Lapeer Days many times. I couldn't tell you a certain amount I got paid for every week because I didn't care. I just wanted to play Lapeer Days. You could get a lot of free
But you never paid. You never paid to go.
Paid.
Yeah.
I never paid.
That blows my mind.
Paid. If I would have said, hey, guys, hey, Kevin, Cam, Greg, we got to pay $100 to play, they would have been like,
go F yourself?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, someone we just had in studio that's going to be playing with us in a joint venture. She's like, yeah, the former band that I was with, all they're doing now is pay to play.
Yeah, they're the places that make you like sell so many tickets to get on the bill, and then you know they hold you know make you
that
basically pay
predatory.
For it.
That's like predatory thing from right.
Yeah, truly.
Brother Stone knows exactly, probably to the F degree, that we're talking about.
That's crazy.
Yeah, we got asked to, you and I, when we were in a band together, we got asked to play gigs like that at certain places that basically thrive on the pay-to-play deal.
We told them to take a flying leap.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, there's no way. You shouldn't have to pay to play.
You're not my manager.
There's a lot of bands out there that would play for free, let them sell merchandise, let them get their name out there.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people would do that. Not in a normal bar setting, but in a situation where they could expose themselves to a new...
Who's in charge of this? I mean, do they play poker with Britney Spears' dad? What's going on here?
But and even to your point about the bar thing, like I'm thankful that the bar I work at and occasionally book talent for believes in paying for good quality local music.
And most bars do.
A lot of them, not as many as I'd like, but certainly there are a few places out there that are still willing to do that. Because they know that people show up for the bands, and then they buy drinks, and then we make money back.
Yes.
Can I say my piece towards the end?
Sure.
I believe the bars that pay for the talent, whatever the talent may be, are former servers. They're not owners who just had money to invest in a bar. I believe at some point in their life they worked in the service industry.
Sure.
And so they're like, hey, these people are hustlers. They're out trying to earn a living. And I don't mean hustlers on the take. I mean, they're people that are out trying to earn a living.
Sure. Yeah.
So kudos to those people who are out there who actually have risen to the top and actually own an establishment that want to see other people rise.
Right.
There should be no competition. We should all be rooting for each other.
Agreed. Absolutely.
Should be. If only it were actually that way more often.
Yeah, for sure.
It is Happy Hour at Solid State Radio. Stick around.
That's it. It's over.
Jack Daniels!
It is Happy Hour at Solid State Radio. As we get set to get the Dodge for the afternoon, don't worry, we'll be back tomorrow for the Throwback Takeover weekend. Yes, Happy Hour is still going to air, as it always does, between 3 and 6 here. Immediately followed by Adam breaking format and going country on Sessions.
Yeah, I know.
He does it every year.
I will mark it on the calendar right now when we do this next week, next year, and I'll do a 90s thing, I swear. Hands on my Bible, cross my toes.
Your hands aren't on your Bible, they're on your testicles.
Yeah, that too.
Bye.
Yeah, if it's my Bible, come on to me.
If it's anything like last year, it ain't going to matter because the power's going to go out in the middle of it anyhow.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah. Brother Stone cursed us all, the power just goes off. So here's hoping that doesn't happen tomorrow. We'll be back tomorrow afternoon at 3 for all the stupid shenanigans you've come to expect from this fine radio program. Talk to you then. See ya.